Amen. You got your Bibles? We're in the second part of our series, A Journey Through the Wilderness, Taking Broken Dreams and Disappointments to New Beginnings. How many are in for that? Yeah. And I know that you'll be blessed. I was blessed just as the Lord gave it to me. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy, if you would. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, when you've got it. If you'd like to stand with me as we honor the author of the book, that'd be fine. If you'd just like to remain seated, that's also fine. We like to stand and just kind of another way of just honoring the Lord. And there's many ways to honor him, though, so amen. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. I read all 18 verses last week. I won't read all of them today. We see the Israelites are at the end of their wilderness journey, ready to move and step into their promised land. How many would believe, and I believe, that you're at the end of something and about ready to step into something new and a new beginning? Amen. Wow. Well, I felt that in my spirit. You're about to step into something new, something good, something that you've been trusting and believing God for. Amen. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Let's start with verses 1 through 3. They are, as I said, at the end of their wilderness journey here and ready to step into, amen, the promise of God. And all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Long time, wasn't it, in the wilderness. And this was the reason to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Somebody say a good land. A land of brooks of water and of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills. Somebody say out of the valleys and out of the hills. Yeah, there's water and there's gold in them that are hills that you've been climbing. Amen. There's water. There's something good in the hilly places of our life and the valleys that we have been in. Look at verse 15 if you would. He says, remember and don't forget the Lord thy God who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness. Wilderness is not a fun place. Wherein there were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought. Where there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. Who led thee, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good. Somebody say good. At thy latter end, don't miss that. All you've been through is to bring you to a place that God has determined to do you good. Oh, man, you should have got happy about that. Has anybody been through anything? Anybody going through anything? Hallelujah. It's to do you good, the wilderness. Amen. That he might do thee good. They might do you wrong, but he will do you good. At your latter end shall be better than your beginning, he said, and he can't lie. And thou shalt say in thy heart, my power and might and mine hand hath gotten me this wealth, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Hallelujah. He is the one that gives us the power to get wealth. And wealth is more than money. Amen. Wealth is money and the things money can't buy. Hallelujah. How many need some things money can't buy? Because if it could, you would have bought it or you find the money to get it. Amen. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It stands alone. It stands complete. It stands just above all. Father, you said heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will never pass away. Take your word, which you have declared is your word, your power. The word is Jesus Christ. Take it now, Father, and use it for your glory and your honor. You said you sent your word and healed them and delivered them, delivered us everyone. I thank you for healing us in every area and place in our lives. where we have hurt, where we've been hurt. I thank you that even as we sit in your presence and stand here, Father, under your anointing, your power, that we are being healed in your presence. We thank you that you not only heal us, you send it to heal us, but to deliver us. I thank you for delivering us from evil. I thank you for delivering us from that which we need to be delivered from and delivering us to that which you have prepared for us. I thank you for what you're doing in each and every life this morning. I thank you for them, their destiny, their purpose. I pray that you will minister to us now. Father, you speak. Hide me. Help me, Jesus. Holy Spirit, help me now, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Look at somebody else and say, he's going to do you good. He's going to do you good. Yeah, he's going to do you good. In part one, just quickly, we saw the wilderness is that barren place between longing and fulfillment, a place of wandering and waiting, a place of expectation and disappointment. Have you ever had great expectations and then you've had great disappointments? We all have. A place possibly where you've longed to be married but remain single, or perhaps despite your best efforts, your marriage ended. Amen. Or maybe you're wanting a child and wanting a baby and unable to conceive, or whatever the issue and problem might be, or a career that has never taken off, or it has but it's not what you thought it would be, or a business that's been hampered or challenged, or a crushing diagnosis that has shattered your hopes and dreams. Like the children of Israel, seemed like we've walked around in circles for years, tired and thirsty and confused, and one minute we catch a glimpse of the promised land, and the next minute it seems like we're barred from entering into it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We've been there. Everyone has a wilderness experience, even Jesus. Amen? Yes. And, you know, we kind of said we never dreamed it would be this way in certain places and with certain situations. And I understand that, and I know how that is too. And what looks so promising one moment later turns out to be only a mirage, leaving you tired and jaded and sad and sometimes even confused. Life can be meaningless. Feelings of failure can haunt you. And we saw that we may even harbor feelings of jealousy toward those who have what we want, and anger towards the God who has denied our request. Am I talking real this morning, or are we going to play Christianette and preacher, not preacherette, because I don't play that. Amen. All right, you're still there. Real people going through real things. And needless to say, the wilderness can be a harsh place, can it not? But thank God there's more to your wilderness and my wilderness experience than broken dreams and disappointment. There's more to it. Hallelujah. That ought to get somebody happy. There is more to it. I know it may be hard to believe, more than serpents and scorpions and all them other things. There's more to it. And as we have drawn our imagery again this week from the wilderness experience, from the great Exodus, from Egypt, or the Israelites, as we reread the story again, we see that there is more to the wilderness than suffering. This will not last forever. Matter of fact, I'm just prophesy over you, and if I could be so bold, and if I could take the liberty that you are at, just like the Israelites, you are at the end of that wilderness journey, and you are ready, God is ready to lead you into the promise that he has promised you. Amen. Glory to God. Well, if you don't want to go, I'll go. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. But I know you want to go. Amen. I want to go there. I heard a preacher in Branson when we were there one time at a conference in Joplin with the Pentecostal Church of God, and he was a comedy guy that was on one of the shows there in Branson. They're all Christian shows and God exalting and the comedy. He was a Pentecostal preacher, and he would say instead of hallelujah, he'd say, hallelujah, I want to go there. Amen. I said, brother, amen to that. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so we see that this summarized their experience in the wilderness, and we see them going in and their experience in the wilderness. It's almost over, and they're about to step into their promised land. And Moses stands before the people, and he tells them what God has been up to during their long 40-year journey and trek through the wilderness, and why the wilderness. How may not be nice to know why? It's good when God tells us what's going on. What is happening here? Amen. And anyone who has experienced it knows the wilderness is a place of trial. But it's not trial for trial's sake. But the purpose of a trial is to reveal the truth. God led the Jewish people through the wilderness, Moses said, all these years to, number one, to humble thee. Well, thee is humbled, is thee not? A little old English there. Some of you are not humbled yet. I guess you're still going to go through some. I'm just kidding. And to prove you, testing you and me. Sometimes that's the hardest place to be, is a place of testing. He says, and to know what was in your heart. How many know without me having to preach that you know about the test? Amen. You know about the test. He says to know what was in your heart, to find out what was really in your heart and whether or not you would really obey him, whether you would really keep his commandments or no. We saw the wilderness is first a place of, we saw last week, a place of revelation. Somebody say revelation. The revelation revealing the truth about us and revealing what is really in our hearts. The wilderness reveals how much we will trust God. Amen. One aspect of trust is unanswered questions. I like answers to my questions, don't you? But trust requires sometimes you don't have any answers. That's what trust is. I'm just going to trust the Lord with all my heart. I want to figure it all out. I want to know what was going on. And sometimes I do, and more times I don't. And God says, don't trust in the Lord. Don't trust in yourself. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't try to figure it all out. I've got it figured out. Trust me that I know. Amen. And just follow me. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me. All your ways. And I'll direct your paths. Amen. And I found myself at times not really acknowledging him in all my ways. That means ask the Holy Spirit, what do you think about it? I may know the Holy Spirit is our guide and as our counselor. He is the one that leads us into all truth. We ought to consult the counselor at least once in a while, don't you think? Hallelujah. And how many know we get in trouble when we don't? Huh? Yeah, I've got in more trouble than I want to think about. Amen. Because I thought I knew. Hallelujah. And so we saw the wilderness is that place of revelation. And we saw that that we had the opportunity to peer into a woman's diary last week and read about her trust issues with God. It's one thing to have trust issues with men or women. It's another thing to have trust issues with God. Amen. She was trying to trust. She was trying to find some reason and some grand plan to reasoning behind what God not giving her what she wanted and felt she desperately needed and why she seemingly was ignored by God. Have you ever felt God was ignoring you? All right, let me bring it down. Have you ever had anybody in this realm ignore you? Yeah. How does that make you feel? Not loved. And for the interesting full-length dialogue of this woman and her diary, more of a monologue, really, with her to God. And so we're back to the wilderness. The wilderness reveals how much we trust God. And will we keep our promises when things get difficult? I mean, you know, it's easy when everything's good and everything's beautiful. But things get difficult, do they not? Will we still follow him when the cost goes up? Or will we take moral shortcuts? I mean, no shortcuts are tempting. Huh? We've all taken them. Amen. And I found that some of the shortcuts were rabbit trails. Huh? Amen. And some of them just flat led to a cliff. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so shortcuts can be dangerous to your health. And here in part two, we see the wilderness is also a place of provision. Somebody say provision. And also a place of discovery. It is interesting, Moses didn't see the wilderness primarily as a place of warfare or of resignation. Warfare being everything is the devil and needs to be exercised. Amen. I may know some things are, but not everything. If you see a devil in everything, you got problems. I had somebody bring me a picture some years ago, and it was when that was going around even more than it is now, and there was a devil behind every bush, and everybody seen devils, and the more you see devils, the more you see more devils. Well, I see angels. Amen. I see Jesus. We would see Jesus. I know the devils are, running around acting crazy, but praise God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And somebody brought me a picture of their baby about, probably couldn't have been more than 2 years, 3 years old. And she asked me, she said, what do you see in this picture? I said, well, I see a beautiful child. She says, no, what do you really see? I said, I see a beautiful child. She says, don't you see the devil? I said, no, I don't see the devil in there. Amen. And so if you've been in the church any length of time, that was quite a deal that people got into some years ago. Amen. Seeing everything that was negative on that side. Amen. I mean, we're on the winning side. And so Moses wasn't looking at the wilderness necessarily as everything is the devil and has to be exercised. And to others in the area of resignation, they see pain, they see suffering, they see broken dreams are all part of this fallen world and so are to be expected and accepted, endured, and so they reject even all prayer sometimes for healing, thinking that everything that happens in life is God's will, referring to things like diseases, for instance, or as to the disease cancer as my cancer or my depression. How many know that's not yours? I said, it's not yours. Anytime I hear somebody say theirs, I say, why do you keep claiming that? That belongs to the devil. That's not yours. Don't claim yours. Claim what God said is yours. Amen. Jesus took all that and he nailed it to his cross. And with his stripes, we are healed. Amen. And so we want to focus in this morning just for a few moments on this second part of the wilderness that is a place of provision. Moses told the Israelites how God hadn't abandoned them there in the wilderness. How many can say amen? He's still with you even in the wilderness. He had been with them all along doing something in their hearts. God is doing something all the time in our hearts throughout our journey. And then he went on to say this in verse 3 and 4. He said, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. And the thought I had is, why would God cause us to hunger? Why would God cause us to hunger? What kind of God is he? Is he a meanie or what? He want all the food, or is he not wanting to get up off some of it, or what's up with that? It's in our text, and we find it again in Jesus' temptation. He said, so that you will know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Not from my mouth, not from your mouth, not from their mouths, but from the mouth of God. Yeah. And you see, because God knows that we have a tendency to go it alone. Huh? Uh-huh. To reveal the truth that, man, you can't live by bread alone. Oh, you can do it for a while. God knows we have a tendency to go it alone with it. You know, we don't need God. We don't say that. We would not dare say we don't need God, but we live like we don't need God. We do what we want, when we want, how we want, with no thought of what God wants. Except maybe a little bit here or there, just to kind of make it look good, kind of soothe our conscience. But we go on and do our thing. They have a song about do your thing. God says, how's that working for you? I don't know about you, but doing my thing didn't work too good for me. And I was working it. Well, I won't work it out here. Amen. He says, thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that vote of confidence. That good amen. So we kind of use God as fire insurance. Amen. I got this. Only to find out that this got us. Huh? Come on. I can tell you don't like that, so I'll leave that alone. Amen. He said, your clothes didn't wear out. No need for Dillard's or Ross or Macy's. Ladies, I told you the wilderness is a terrible place. Amen. Terrible place. And your feet did not swell. Woo! During these 40 years. I want to know what wilderness they were in, because I see a lot of swelled feet. Had a few myself. Amen. I guess better a swelled foot than a swelled head, huh? Yeah. Don't say too many amens on that, please. And even though they grumbled and complained, God provided them with manna, angel food cake from heaven. quail under glass from the skies, sparklets water from rocks, and ever sturdy Levi's clothes, which tells us the wilderness wasn't just a place of revelation for them, it was a place of provision for them. Not that they could always see it, like us sometimes. But that's the thing about broken dreams and continued disappointments. It restricts our vision. Amen. Come on, somebody talk to me. It can restrict your vision. Continued disappointment, expectation, disappointment. And you get on that roller coaster. My God, that's a roller coaster you want to get off of. I never wanted to get on it in the first place. First Lady got me on that one over there at Magic Mountain. And nothing magic about that one. All the magic went out when it got stuck. I told you. She said, yeah, you confessed it. Uh-huh, that's the problem. Thank God we didn't get stuck in the loop upside down. It was at the top before we hit the loop. God is a merciful God. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people have a lot of fun with that, but I'm just, if you see pictures when they take your picture when you're coming down, those kind of things, God, I look like I'm having something not good. It's not good. You don't want to see the picture. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. It restricts our vision, broken dreams and disappointments, and soon our life gets confused, and the four walls, we get confined to the four walls of our problems, the four walls of a clinic, of a counselor's office, a single site or a hospital ward, or we miss the good things God is giving us every day, like life and breath and health and work and art and sports and pets, minus that darn cat or dog. Amen. In the wilderness, we can miss these everyday blessings, pushing them to the periphery while our problems take precedence. Amen. If you don't believe that, listen to sometimes to people that are in the wilderness and going through some real. Yeah, I'm going through the wilderness right now. We can miss these everyday blessings. Amen. We pushing them to the periphery and because everything else is taking precedence. And we can forget the more specific ways God provides for us too. But God also knows that when our dreams are broken, dreams come to an end. We need a new start. Amen. I said he knows we need a new start. God specializes in new beginnings and fresh starts. Don't let the devil keep you in yesterday. Don't let him tie you down to something God has set you free from. In the name of Jesus. Boy, we got so many little Holy Spirit helpers in the church playing the Holy Spirit. You got to do this. You got to do that. You can't do that. You got to put up with that. What? You better get away from me. Amen. God specializes in new beginnings. Broken dreams into new beginnings. Amen. Disappointments into appointments. I said disappointments into appointments. God has an appointment for you. Every disappointment you have, there is an appointment attached to it. And you're on your way to that appointment. If you're following him and wanting to do his will, that appointment, you never know when that appointment's going to take place. Could be today. It could be tomorrow, the next day. Amen. Where there's disappointment, there will always be an appointment with God for your life. Amen. And I say that on the basis of we don't like to see our kids disappointed, do we? We don't like to see them having broken dreams and disappointments. And if we can, we will fix them for them, will we not? We'll do everything we can to help them. Well, God is even more so. When he sees when the wilderness is done and when those broken dreams and broken promises and whatever we go through. Amen. And I love the wilderness as a place of God's provision, often in ways that we least expect it. I said often in ways we least expect it. Tell somebody one more time, expect the unexpected. Get your expector working. Amen? Don't say, oh, it's another day, just like yesterday, I got to go back to work tomorrow. Same old jerks. I mean, same old people I have to work with. Did I say that? I'm sorry. I didn't say that about you. Please, nobody take that personal. Amen? Expect the unexpected. Lord, what are you going to do today? Come on. What do you got planned today? How many know God loves to surprise us? God is a God that loves surprises. The Bible says he's a God of surprises. Suddenly. God loves to do things suddenly. Well, come suddenly and bless. Bless you suddenly. Woo, surprise you. Sometimes I just say, God surprised me this morning. I didn't ask him today, but he surprised me anyway. I walk in and I see a sister that I haven't known, seen for a long time. I was had her father as an assistant pastor back in the 80s, and I saw her walking up the walkway this morning. I thought, that is a good surprise, sister. Wonderful to see you. Amen. God has a way of surprising. Now, that's just a surprise for a pastor. Amen. Maybe somebody will walk up your side and say, that's not a surprise. I don't want that kind of surprise. You'll get that about 3 o'clock when they walk up your walkway. Amen. But that was a good surprise. God has got a good surprises. The devil has a bad surprise, but God's got good surprises. Okay, y'all too stiff. Look at somebody next to you and say, God's going to surprise you. God's going to surprise you. God's going to surprise you. Woo. Sometimes I think we surprise God. But I will not preach that because God knows everything. But amen. Maybe we can try to surprise God. What do you think? Wouldn't that be good? And so you saw. And so as we conclude this second part, amen. The last but not the least, the wilderness is a place of discovery. And I want to tell you, discoveries that will blow your mind. We're not going to go there just for a little bit. And it's also a place of transition. And we'll go there, Lord willing, in the weeks ahead. But in the wilderness, Moses reminded them, you saw how the Lord carried you. As a father carries his son or his daughter. There's something about a father carrying their son or their daughter. I was in Walmart this last week, and I had to go in late at night, and I walked, and there was a family in there, a father and a mother and some children, but the little guy, the father was carrying the little guy. And he didn't know it. I was walking behind him, but there's just something about him carrying that little guy that touched my heart. And I didn't even realize it was part of the message until I prepared last night, but that's what it was. Amen. And then our son-in-law and our youngest daughter, Jessica, came up, and last night I saw Steve, I saw him carrying little Dean, little two-year-old, amen. So I'm carrying him. I thought, wow, he's in the message today. You saw as the father carried you like a father carries his son or his daughter. I'm glad we got a father who'll carry us. I've got a granddaughter that wants me to carry her all the time. She says, uppy, 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 uppy. I said, uppy. But I try to pick her up every time she says yuppie because I realize how many times I need God to pick me up. Sometimes we need an adult yuppie, huh? And God says, I got it for you. I know when to pick you up. Amen. Matter of fact, God gave me a promise 2 years ago on New Year's Eve. He said that even in your older age, I didn't say old, I said older. He said, I will carry you. And so I got happy about the verse, but I thought, uh-oh, I must going to need some carrying here. But I didn't see it as a negative. I thought, how many know we all need some carrying? Huh? How many times you wish somebody would pick you up? I used to pick little Julian up. Yeah, used to. Remember, he got big and heavy and strong like a brick house. Now I tell him, yuppie, you pick me up. Amen. We all need a pick-me-up from time to time. I may know churches some of that. We come here and we edify. We build up one another. We pick each other up. We've been out there in the world. We've been in the wilderness. Or we've been where we've been. And man, we've been through hell and high water. And amen, fighting devils and fighting off things and dealing with things. And we can come into a sanctuary, a place where we can hear God's love and feel his love and understand that we're not in this alone, but we're in this together. And feel a word and hear a word that will encourage us and strengthen us. Amen. Amen. And so he says, you saw how the Lord carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached the place. Deuteronomy 1:31. How many know that he's going to carry you at times till you reach the place? You may feel like you've been dropped on your head. Come on, talk to me. I feel like if that don't seem like you're carrying me. I feel like you dropped me on my head. That's why I don't have much up here. I've been dropped on my head too much. Amen. But he says, I carried you until you reach this place, this promised place. And I want to tell you today, if you don't get anything else out of this, God is carrying you even when you don't realize it. He's been carrying you. He's going to carry you through. He's going to see you through. And he's going to get you to the place that he promised you. I don't care how many devils been telling you otherwise. I don't care what the signs and wonders the devil been giving you that are true or not as far as in the natural realm. We are not just natural. We are supernatural. We serve a supernatural God. And he's a suddenly God. He can change things in a moment. You know that as well as I do, where God has turned things and you thought, God, I didn't think you could change it that fast. Amen. Amen. And so we see that God, we saw a father carry his son, and what a beautiful sight that is. Amen. And now as Moses addresses the Israelites at the conclusion of their journey, he added, he says, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son or his daughter, so the Lord your God disciplines you. That's verse 5 of our text. Notice the words, and don't miss these words. They're significant. Father, son, carries, disciplines. To this point, Israel had known God only as creator, as king, as warrior, as judge. But through the wilderness, they had come to know him as father. They came to know him as father. The wilderness wasn't just a place of revelation and provision for them, but it was a place of discovery. It was through the wilderness that they had discovered that God was their dad, capital D, and they were his children. Hallelujah. Thank God we have a father, a heavenly father. We have so many fatherless children. Amen. Some of us have been through a lot of things concerning the father relationship. But I want to tell you, God, in your wilderness, will reveal himself to you as a father that you've always needed, you've always wanted. Maybe you had it. Few have. At least few that I know. But I tell you this, the Lord willing, we're going to talk more about this father-son, father-daughter relationship and the discovery awaiting us. It is also the wilderness a place of transition, but that's for another time. Amen? That's for next time. So we, like the Israelites, I believe, are at the end of the journey. Wilderness journey, poised and ready to enter into the land God has promised us. Most are coming through and coming out of a lot. Amen. So I want to declare to you that your wilderness journey is almost over. I said your wilderness journey is almost over. Matter of fact, some of you should already have a witness. You already see it starting to come to an end. Already God's been giving you some hope. Already you've been catching some glimpses that it can be different. Amen. It's not always going to be like it is. Amen. God is a better God than that. And God is going to have a church that the world is going to want to know. Who do you know? Where do you go? What do you use? How did you get that? How can you be like that? Where is it? I want it. God's going to have a church like that. And he's already begun it and already moving. So be encouraged in your wilderness. You're poised. God has poised you, ready to step in to that promise. Amen. You've been through a lot. You've come through a lot. Whew, boy, those words do not describe it well at all. I know, and I apologize, but have we come through some stuff? Whew. Well, we don't come out for God not to bring us in. He didn't bring you out to not bring you in. Didn't the song say he didn't teach you to swim to let you drown? If God brought you out, he's big enough to bring you in. In the wilderness, we'll talk more about that in the future, the Lord willing. We're going to look at Jesus' wilderness. There's several powerful things in the wilderness that Jesus went through. Amen. The thing that blew my mind is that he gets baptized by the Spirit, comes up out of the water, water still dripping off of his brow, and the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. What? The Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. Just the Father just opened up heavens, ripped him open and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and then drives him into the wilderness. I may drive connotates that he wasn't going willingly. If you have to drive somebody, that means they really don't want to go where you're driving them. Amen? That's for another day. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I believe in miracles now, Pastor, because you cut it short. And this wilderness journey in this church is over. Hallelujah. Amen. It only took 30 years to get there, but all right. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's stand together. Would you stand with me? Glory to God. As we come to the Lord's table, I want to read a prophetic word out of the Jesus calling. And I feel like the Lord wants us to pray and take the Lord's Supper today in light of some of your greatest disappointments. How many know the disciples were really disappointed when Jesus went to the cross? Amen. And their hopes and their dreams seemed to be a thing of the past. You ever have a time in your life where you think whatever it was, it's past, and there is no hope? Anybody ever had a hopeless situation? Hopeless people? Have you ever been hopeless? Well, don't answer that. Amen. Can I share this word with you quickly? I was supposed to share it last week, but I believe it must be for somebody here this week. It was last Sunday, August 3rd. It says, there is no place so desolate that you cannot find me there. When Hagar fled from her mistress Sarah in the wilderness, she thought she was utterly alone and forsaken. But Hagar encountered me in that desolate place. And then she addressed me as the living one who sees me. Through that encounter with my presence, she gained courage to return to her mistress. No set of circumstances could ever isolate you from my loving presence. Not only do I see you always, I see you as a redeemed saint, gloriously radiant in my righteousness. That is why I take great delight in you and rejoice over you with singing. Hallelujah. Woo. I take comfort like Hagar. In the wilderness, cast out of Abraham's house, her and Ishmael had put the boy under a bush in the wilderness to die. Water had run out. Has your water ever run out? And she went over a distance because she didn't want to see the boy die. Wow. And God comes to her in that awful place called the wilderness, and she finds him, and he reveals himself to her as the one who not only sees her, or not only hears her, but he sees her. God sees her in the middle of that wilderness. And I come here to tell you the good news that God sees you. He sees you in that place. And it may be a place nobody even knows you're in that place. How many know people are in places you'll never know? They will never tell you. That's true even with most personal relationships, husbands, wives. There's some times where you will never know what that place is. Not because they're trying to withhold. It's just one of those places. What good is it to tell anybody? I feel alone in it anyway. And what are they going to do? Amen. But God, the one we really need to see us, really to hear us, is listening to you right now. Your cry, your hopes, your dreams, broken or otherwise. And he sees you, young or old alike, and he hears you. And he's one who can do something about what he sees and what he hears. I said he can do something about what he sees and what he hears. I wish I could do more for what I see and what I hear. I do what I can, but God will do what you can't. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the destinies that are represented in this house this morning. I thank you for these lives and their purpose. They are not here by accident. In the wilderness, although we would rather have a promised land without any wilderness, there are some good things that come out of our wilderness, along with the excruciating things that we have to endure. I thank you that you're a God who is with us. I thank you that you're a God who will not leave us in the wilderness. And Lord, I thank you that what should have taken 11 days took 40 years. I don't thank you for that. I just thank you for the witness of it, that you're going to get us through this quicker. Amen. I said, he's going to get you through it. I pray quicker. But how quick is quick? Some of you are standing here and you've been in that wilderness. Some have been 10 years, 5 years, 20 years. Some may even be 30 years dealing with a situation. But don't give up. I said, don't give up. And don't give in. God sees you. God is leading you. When you can't feel him, when you can't see him, when you think he's ignoring you and he doesn't want to do it for you, there's something, the devil tells you there's something wrong with you. You're not holy enough. You're not consecrated enough. That is all lies. You are beloved of the Father. You are the Father's son and daughter, and you are the apple of his eye. He's the one that picks you up, will carry you when you can't carry yourself. Lord, I thank you and I praise you today. I thank you for the wilderness, a place of revelation and a place of provision. And I thank you, Father, we're going to the place of discovery and the place of transition. I want to thank you for where we stand this day, poised and on the brink, I believe, of some of the greatest promises being fulfilled. Suddenly, there was the sound like a mighty rushing wind, came and filled all the house where they were sitting, and tongues lighted upon them of the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask you to fill us today with your presence, your Holy Spirit. Come and strengthen us today. Give us strength for our journey. Help us through this latter part. Help us, Father. Thank you for where you're taking us. Thank you for what you prepared for us. Thank you for the expectation. Renew our hope. Thank you for helping us with our disappointments. I give you praise and I give you glory for each one today. We bring our disappointments to you today and to this table. We thank you, Father, for the miracle. We thank you for the restoration. We thank you for the life. We thank you for the resurrection power. Lord, we thank you for the appointments that you have for us, good appointments. You said you do us good and not evil. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I've heard that so much, and sometimes we say, Pastor, don't say it again. I'm sick of hearing it. Well, God is going to do it anyway. And I know your disappointment. I understand that. Don't keep telling me. Show me. Are you there? God is there with you. I know what I got for you. I got you. I got this. Just keep going with me. I'll get you through the wilderness to the promised land. Amen. Amen. Amen.